This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And we are joined by our NFL front office insider and our good friend, a tremendous human being, Doug Whaley, who's got those pipes out, man. Look at those arms. Look at Doug Whaley's arms on the YouTube stream. You want to push those YouTube numbers? You wear a shirt like that. My God, how you doing, Doug?
I'm like this. I'm moving back.
He doesn't want to show them off. Do you do everything? Are you working out consistently, Doug? Or are you just getting some curls in every other day?
Well, you got to understand, I was in Dallas solo for 33 straight days, and there was a gym about a block away. So instead of going out hanging out all night, I was doing a couple two-a-day workouts.
Oh, my God.
Trying to get back into shape.
Two-a-days?
Yeah, man.
And
well,
after it.
If I was alone for 33 days, it might be a forearm thing for me. But you know,
yeah, I'll do those for that first, and then I just try to maintain for the rest of the year. That's how I do it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, Doug. So the big news from yesterday that we've discussed a bunch today is that Shedeur Sanders is going to come in for a pre-draft workout. He'll be here tomorrow. Now, they've already had Jackson Dart in. What does this tell us about the Steelers and their intentions?
Well, I think it tells you that, one, they are serious about doing all their due diligence on those two quarterbacks. And if they bring anyone else in, they want to cross their I's and dot their T's. I mean, cross their T's and dot their I's. But the biggest thing here is you got to realize the interest level is there, but what they want to make sure they do, that they have everything set so if the guy is there when they have to pick. Does this mean they're going to go up and get one of these guys? I'm not saying that, but if that, wherever they are and they're on the board, the last thing you want to do is, oh, we didn't expect him to be here, so we have an incomplete evaluation on this guy. So let's get all that information right there at hand. So if he's staring at us compared to a receiver or a DT, then we can put a true evaluation on this guy and a true Steeler draft grade.
Doug, with all this information out there, I mean, Jackson Dart last week coming in for a visit. Now Shedeur Sanders coming in for a visit. It's, you know, on ESPN and Fox Sports that the Steelers like Jalen Milroe. They're connecting the Steelers to a quarterback at 21. Could this all be smokescreen to push Aaron Rodgers to sign before the draft? Like telling Aaron Rodgers, like, look, we're going to take a quarterback if you don't sign, man. And if we take a quarterback, we might not want you. And you might be, you know, SOL sitting out there without a team, and you're going to be forced to have to sit out this year. Could this be a play to force Aaron Rodgers to sign before the draft by putting all this out there and doing and going through these areas?
No, I don't think so, because I know the way Aaron Rodgers operates, if they don't know, that's not going to push him in any direction to make a decision, then they are really not in tune with what they're going to bring into this into their organization. I think that when it comes down to it, it's the draft process, and you have to be prepared for any scenario. And if you slip by not doing the work that you're hired to do, and that's get as much information on these draft prospects as possible so you can set that draft board, it doesn't matter how what you're doing in free agency. And Aaron Rodgers, to me, is going to be, that's a totally separate thing. And what Mike Tomlin always likes to do too is you can do a lot of work on these guys now, knowing that it may not pay off in the draft, as in you draft these guys, but in 4 years from now, you're going to be looking at them as free agents, and that just helps your free agent discussions go.
We heard from a source who's tapped in all kind of these things a couple of weeks ago, saying that people and teams around the NFL think that the Steelers are enamored with Jackson Dart. Then they meet with him, and now they're going to meet with Shador. I mean, could it be misinformation going out? Like, oh, the Steelers love these quarterbacks. And would you have a guy in for a visit and do that as a smokescreen, maybe independent of Rodgers, but just for people to think you're up to something else?
Absolutely. And what you want to do by that is feign interest in some guys or really perpetuate interest in other guys. And so somebody can push a guy that you like a little more to you. So there's absolutely misinformation. We've had guys in that we had no interest in. We've had guys in that we've had a great amount of interest in. And we've had guys in that were on the same team as another guy we had interest in to throw off the scent. We've also, and I've told you guys this before, the night before a draft, we flew to see a quarterback and made sure everybody knew that we were going to do it. And we had no interest in drafting this guy. We may have signed him as a priority free agent, but we wanted to throw the scent off of people. And this is the fun part from a GM's perspective, because there's so much airways that has to be filled from the end of the Super Bowl to draft day. Sometimes you just have fun with people, because in the media, there's just so much time to, how many mock drafts can you do? And there's just so much time and airspace that everybody has to fill, that a lot of times GMs are like, oh, let's just give them whatever the narrative is today. Let's help them push it.
Doug, say it is Sanders at 21. Say the Steelers pull the card and they draft Shador Sanders. How do you think the dynamic between Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, would be with Deion Sanders? Like, would you be worried about that if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you're Omar Khan, if you're Art, if you're Mike Tomlin? Are you thinking about, like, you know what, the baggage that comes with this guy? Like, I just don't know about it. How do you think that dynamic would work?
I think any thought of that should be quelled right now, because Shador is coming on a visit. And I say this because when Deion Sanders was coming out, when people outside of the top 10 asked him to come on a 30 visit, he goes, unless you're looking to trade up for me, I'm not going past probably 5. So I'm not going on a visit. So for him to say Shador go on a visit with the Steelers at 21, I think that Deion's is going to be a non-factor. And another thing, I truly believe Deion has such reverence for the game of football, the institution of NFL that got him to where he is now, to be able to mentor young players, and he's got his own thing going on. He's done what he's got to do, in my opinion, for Shador. It's time for Shador to leave the coop and be his own man, and I just don't see that being an issue.
What about Shador on the field? I mean, he was sacked a ton the last couple of years, and it's not like the offensive line was good. It was, in fact, the opposite of that. Is he running into a lot of sacks? I mean, that seems to be one of the knocks on him, is sometimes he holds on to the ball too long.
Yeah, and I looked at him, and I believe that. And a lot of it, some of it is on the offensive line, but with that offensive line, the thing that I struggle with Shador is, you know, you have a bad offensive line. If that first, second, or maybe even third, if you can get to that third read, isn't there, and you start scrambling, every meal doesn't have to be a banquet. Throw the ball away. And without that, and to me, that is a hard thing to really break. To get a guy that's always looking to make that big play and not just take what is there, then to get him into a guy that's going to be able to anticipate being open. He's waiting to see a guy open to anticipate. And then that's a hard transition, not only from college to pro, but going from a hold the ball guy to let's get this thing off time or throw it before the wide receiver break. I would struggle to say that he'd be able to pick it up right away. I think it's going to take some time for him to make that jump.
Doug, do you have any, do you discredit, I guess, Shador for patting the football? You know, that was a big discussion this past week after his pro day. He patted the football a lot, and everybody's like, okay, Tom Brady patted the football. A lot of quarterbacks pat the football. Yeah. Would that be a knock on him if you were grading him and if you were scouting him at his pro day, if he pats the football before he throws? Is that a big deal?
It is a concern because of what I just spoke about, because he's waiting to see a guy open. So when he sees the guy open, pats the ball, and then gets it out, and he doesn't have a rocket arm, you can get away with it in the Big 12 against West Virginia. But when you're playing against some guys in the NFL, sorry, I had to do a crowd.
They didn't play him. They never played.
Scared.
But in the NFL, what I'm saying is, and you know this, Doran, those windows of being open are very small and they close quickly. So if you don't have a rocket arm, you wait until you see the guy open, you pat, and then you throw it, that's where it may catch up with him. But if he learns to anticipate and throw before the break, pat, the guy's going into the break, he's patting, by the time he turns his head, that ball's on him, then it will be good. But again, that's going to take some time, and I don't know if the Steeler brass has that ability to develop that quarterback, and they've shown lately that they can't develop quarterbacks. So there's the other chink in the armor.
Well, and then here's another thing too. He's not a great athlete, and it's right. One thing, Doug. I mean, I thought you described that beautifully. People on the text line like it too. Every meal doesn't have to be a banquet. Well, if you're Ben Roethlisberger, you could bounce off 300-pounders, and then you could scramble up in the pocket and launch the thing 60 yards down the field. Maybe a lot of the time you can have that banquet. But if you can't escape at a high level, then you're probably asking for a ton of trouble.
And that's what it was showed in Colorado. And that's what I think is what's going to – I have a struggle with. And if you had someone there to help him – try to break that habit and make that switch, then yes. But again, that's when you look at the macro of it, what he's deficient and what he's going to get better, have the quarterback and the offensive coordinator and the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers ever been in a position to make changes, drastic changes to young guys coming out and get them to a level that could be start win caliber players? I haven't seen it. Have you guys?
No.
Doug, is Cam Ward just a better quarterback than Jackson Dart, or is he more polished than Jackson Dart, or is Jackson Dart more polished than Cam Ward? Cam Ward is just the top guy. Like, is there a big gap between Cam Ward and Jackson Dart and Shador Sanders in this draft? Like, is he far and away the best prospect, like, absolutely this draft?
I think Cam Ward, his ceiling is a lot higher than both of those guys. The things that he can do, and he reminds me of a baseball player where he can turn a double play. And I mean, being able to throw from different arm platforms, it doesn't always have to be over the top. He can flick it sidearm. He can go over the top. He can deliver from different releases, and his feet don't have to be set to be accurate. Then you add, so he can play in the pocket and he can play outside the pocket. Jackson Dart is, I think, a step below that, but he's, like you said, the more polished guy that you could come in and he can run a system. Cam Ward can be on script and off script. Jackson Dart's more of an on script type guy, and Shador Sanders is just physically a step beneath those guys. And then you add into his lack of being able to, he may be able to read defense and process, but be able to pull the trigger in a timely fashion makes him the third guy on my list.
Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock, talking quarterback prospects here. I have a question about this McAfee event tonight. I have a Mark Caboli tweet that I want to get to that I really want your guys' opinion on. So that's all on the way. Doug, like I said, with us the final hour of the show.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Austin Bechtold, City Limits, as he's affectionately referred to on the midday show. He says he's going to the big night at tonight. And he paid $75 a ticket. And he was going to go with Jack Hillgrove, but now Jack Hillgrove is sick. So if you want to go with Austin Bechtold to big night at, I will read his personal cell phone number live on the air at 9:50, and you can see if you can attend with him.
Yeah.
$75?
What?
He couldn't pull a string or two? Pony's going.
Is he?
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Are you going?
No, I'm not. Kids have baseball games.
It's that time of year. Oh, my God. You sit in the car? Tell me you sit in the car.
No, because you can't see the field from the car.
Oh, man.
But they both have games at the same time on the same area, and the fields are next to each other, so I sit in between on like another field to watch both games.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
You bring a sipper?
Not tonight. If it was Friday, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess it is a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Not a big night at for you. And I'll be asleep by 8 p.m. Doug Whaley with us until 10 a.m. Doug, do you think the Steelers would be mad if Rodgers announced it tonight? Like, without their blessing? Like, they have everything agreed to, and he decides to tell the world tonight, or at least tell all of Pittsburgh tonight, that he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Do you think that they would dislike that?
I think they would not want that to happen, but this is what you're going to be, they are going to be dealing with when you put your arms around Aaron Rodgers and expect him to be your quarterback. He's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, because it's about Aaron Rodgers. Me personally, I think it's too basic for him to announce it at Pat McAfee tonight. I just don't think that's an Aaron Rodgers thing to do. I think he's going to do it in a way where everybody's going to be like, oh, wow, Aaron, let's all tune in. And I don't think he wants to take the spotlight away from Pat McAfee. Hmm. I think he'll do it at a different later time when, again, it's all. And me personally, I could see him doing it the night before the draft.
If he does it the night before the draft, does that say that the Steelers aren't going to draft a quarterback, or could they still draft a quarterback, or should they still draft a quarterback even if he is the quarterback of the Steelers for underneath a 1-year deal?
If you like a quarterback at 21 and he's the highest guy on your board or close to the highest guy compared to your next guy on the board, absolutely, because we all know Aaron Rodgers isn't the future. And this could be a Atlanta situation where you have a veteran guy that you're looking for a year, maybe two. You bring a young guy in, let him sit, let him learn, let him be, try to develop a guy. So when he is thrown into the mix, you have less of a yo-yo of up and down performance. You can try to get that steady incline and getting him going in the right direction, trying to peak instead of having to wait on or rely on a rookie that's going to have some bumps and bruises and ups and downs. So I think that does not, if Aaron Rodgers decides to come to the Steelers, I don't think that takes quarterback out of the equation, especially in round one.
This might be a rudimentary question, so stick with me on this. So Pat Mahomes, he's the guy that always gets brought up. Pat Mahomes sat, and then Pat Mahomes is a superstar. Well, maybe he would have been anyhow. Maybe he would have been if he played from day one. How do you develop a quarterback without playing, and how much can a guy grow just by watching and consuming information?
And Doran, you can help me on this one. It's a lot about how to watch film. What are you looking for? What are the keys? What are the tips? How to practice? How do you get yourself ready to practice? How do you get yourself ready to play? What's your normal game week like? And if you've never done it and you just get thrown in the fire and you don't have people around you like a great quarterback's coach or a great OC that has done it, actually been in those shoes and played, that takes a little longer and it's trial by error. But if you have a roadmap and say, here's what you need to do on Monday. When we're watching films, this is what I look at corners. This is what I look at safeties. This is what I look at linebackers. When the offensive line says this, then that's going to be your most hot. So let's look at him and where's the hot replacement. So all this type of stuff they can learn without getting beat up and getting hit and having such, I guess, negative impact of learning on the fly, and you can have a positive impact by learning on the fly. And Doran, you can go into this a lot more than I can, but that's how I feel, especially at that position. Sitting a year or two, if possible, is nothing but a positive.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, like as hard as it is to play in the NFL, and it's even harder to play quarterback in the NFL, it's just as hard to become a professional and learn how to become a professional every day, like, and get into a routine every day. I mean, everything is new. Everything is moving at a fast pace. It's obviously the highest level. It's very hard. So if you could take that year in that stress of way of actually having to perform, but just learn how to be a professional, that second year, you're like, okay, like I know what to expect every day. I know whenever I report to training camp, like this is the type of bet I have. Like little stuff like that does matter to players, and especially quarterbacks. Like if you sit there in a film room and understand how to watch NFL film with other NFL quarterbacks, not even just a starter, but other guys around you, even a Mason Rudolph, with your quarterback coach or with your offensive coordinator, but you don't have to go out there and worry about, you know, throwing picks or performing at a high level and winning football games, that next year you should be hitting the ground running of being just a football player, and it's a lot easier.
And I'll even add to this, and Doran, you can co-sign, even just learning how to practice at an NFL practice, it's different than college. Yeah. At college, you're two platoon, and the offense is on one side, defense is on another side. They have enough members on the team to go two platoon. And on the NFL, it's one. So you got to learn how to practice, the intensity of the practice, all that stuff, how to protect each other in practice because you have limited numbers, and the investment in these players is so high. So even just like I said, learning how to practice is different in the NFL than in college.
Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock. There's something that Mark Caballi put out there that I think people will want your guys' reaction on. I'll give you my thoughts on it too. Before we get to that, people blowing us up on the text line because Pat Narduzzi said you were the GM of Pitt football, Doug, and I didn't know that this was some big secret. I was sort of wondering where the hell everyone has been for these last couple of years. Like, I thought this was just common knowledge.
Yeah, we thought so too. I mean, I've been working with the Lions 412. I give all credit to Coach Narduzzi and Chris Bickle for knowing that this college athletic system is evolving into a pro system. And Coach Narduzzi said, hey, this is something that you're really adept at doing. And that's what I did at my time in the NFL. It's really salary cap management and player procurement, just helping them navigate this really professional system that is getting implemented and has been implemented. And I've been doing it for almost a year and a half, close to 2 years. So I thought that people knew. But I guess when once you throw out that title of GM, I guess that piques everybody's interest.
Doug, how much of that job that's, you know, I mean, obviously it happens in the NFL, but now with the landscape of college football, how much of your job is to stay ahead of the game and like know that things are coming down, things are changing every single day in college sports and college football? Like, how much of your job is like being aware of what is about to happen compared to what is actually happening?
Absolutely. And especially when things are new, you always want to be at the forefront and you want to be able to say, oh, we did this and we were the first to do that. So other programs are saying, look at Pitt. They're not Ohio State. They're not Alabama. But look at how they're navigating this new system. And I always like that quote that Wayne Gretzky says, and they were talking about him. They asked him, how do you know where to go and what to do and why are you so great? And he goes, because I never go where the puck is. I go where the puck's going. And that's the mentality that Coach Narduzzi and the Pitt football program, that's what we want to do. Where is this puck going and where can we find the opportunity to put Pitt in the best position to compete for a championship?
I just thought everyone knew. I had people at the station texting me like, did you know this about Doug? Yeah, mm-hmm. we've been talking about it all the time. What do you mean? Gives us all the secrets. All right, that part's not necessarily true, but we did know that Doug was doing that. People were asking, so figured would ask you. All right, so Mark Caboli tweeted something that I want to get to with you guys. We'll do that coming up next. Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Doug Whaley in with us until 10 o'clock. It's a Wednesday with Whaley. Do it every week. Doesn't matter where Doug is on the globe, Doran. He's always going to join us.
Yes.
I don't know, Doug. Like, you might have missed one show in like 2 years because you were on a vacation with the family. That's it.
You're in a different country.
In a different country. Every Wednesday, this guy is here like clockwork for us. I just wanted to thank you for that, Doug.
Well, I'm committed. I want to thank you guys for the opportunity for me to get my thoughts and my voice out there. I know I got a face for radio, even though YouTube stream is putting me my mug out there to the public out there. But no, I appreciate you guys for, like I said, give me a spot to air my thoughts.
People on the YouTube comments still commenting on
his pipes.
His pipes, yeah. Anyhow, you were about to say something better.
Doug, percentage chance the Steelers trade George Pickens during the draft?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say right now, 35%. Because the only thing I would only put it higher if he wasn't such, I wouldn't say malcontent, but the stories that have gotten out there, mercurial, there you go. Listen to big word guy from WVU.
Now, right. I've heard Mueller say it.
He can't spell it.
Okay. I haven't Googled it because you're right, I can't.
So what I'm thinking is, other people have heard the stories as well, too. Would they want to give a second round draft choice, plus knowing you're going to have to sign this guy for a guy that they're going to do their due diligence, they're going to read the stories, they're going to find out if he even showed up after the 90-minute cutoff before games, why has he always been in and out and all the stuff off the field? And I'm not saying character-wise, but more football character-wise. Are you going to send somebody a second round and then have to pay this guy? So I don't know if they'll get their price to trade him more than the ability to trade. That's what I think would hinder it more, in my opinion.
So you're saying, I mean, they would do it if they could, they just might not have a great opportunity to do so.
Correct. Because the other people are going to, they see the talent, but they also see everything else that comes with them. And it hasn't changed since college. He should have been a first round pick in college, but his stripes hasn't changed. And you're still finding little things that just don't say this guy's committed to being a professional.
And as we've discussed a whole bunch now on the show, he walks at the end of the year, you could get a third round comp pick for him. And so if you're not going to get more than that now, you might as well hold on to the guy and see what he could do maybe with Aaron Rodgers. All right, so here's the Caboli tweet that I wanted to get to. Now, Mark tweeted out, Top three quarterbacks in the draft will be gone way before the Steelers are on the clock at 21, yet we try to convince ourselves they'll fall to the Steelers. Sorry, don't see it. Are we convincing ourselves of that? Or are they? I mean, I don't know why Mark thinks he's the foremost authority on who's going to be where when, but the Steelers obviously think there's a chance that they can get these guys, because if not, you're not going to be wasting all this time on them.
Doug, I kind of just look at it how the draft is going to fall. Like, if you just look at who needs a quarterback, who might take a quarterback, who might take a running back, who needs a tight end, who needs offensive tackle, defensive line, there's not many teams that really, if you on paper, need a quarterback. The Steelers need a quarterback, and I think that that might push down. And then if you fall in love more with Jackson Dart, he might become the second guy taken, and then that could be one of the teams that don't need a quarterback but draft a quarterback.
No doubt about it, but it also sits there and lets you know what this quarterback class is and, more importantly, is not. It's not three surefire guys. There's no Andrew Luck like, hey, these guys are definitely going, especially after Cam Ward. Those next two, they're such a divergent of talent, just – thoughts on these guys and feelings on these guys, that it shows you that anything can happen. That's what makes it, that Thursday night's going to be very exciting. But to me, it's more indicative on the perceived talent of these quarterbacks more than can these guys fall. Absolutely they can fall, because everybody's all over the board on them.
Doran threw out a theory earlier on in the show, I think is a good one here, Doug, that, you know, not every team clearly is going to see eye to eye on these quarterbacks or even on this quarterback class overall. But there does seem to be this collective groupthink that next year's class is going to be outstanding. What if the Steelers don't see it that way? And how much would your scouts, how much would you personally be looking ahead to next year's draft while you're in the middle of this process?
Well, you did it before. What they probably did, if they did it the way people are thinking, they're thinking about this, before the combine, they were like, okay, let's look at next year's guys. Let's intersplice them with these top three guys or these quarterbacks of this year and say, okay, if these guys come out next year, to date, what we think of these guys, this class, there's four or five guys that I think would push that would be above these three guys coming out this year. If not, hey, these three guys are probably the same as the three guys next year. Now, there's a lot of variables that you got to factor in, and you don't know how guys are going to ascend or descend, but then you kind of just splice those ends and say, we feel like Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders would be in the top 20 of next year's class if they came out next year. And that's how you start developing your thought process of when to pull the trigger, when to wait, or when to say, let's move down, move up, or wait till next year.
Do you think those two guys would be in the top 20 of next year? Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders? You, Doug Whaley?
I do not. Not Shedeur. Jackson may be that stretch. But I right now, but again, those guys haven't put so much on tape, but just off the quick snapshot, I would say he'd be at that 20 to 30 range.
And this was something we didn't bring up actually earlier in the show. There's no guarantee that the guy that everyone seems is going to be the prize next year, Cooper Manning, is going to actually even come out. I did it again. Yep. I did it again.
Yeah.
I mean, he might stay in college for another. He might not. He's making a pretty penny, though, in NIL. All right, one last thing on all this with you, Doug. When do these meetings get scheduled? Like, are all the top 30, like, you know your 30 guys, you know, a month ago? Or is it week to week, like, we try to figure it out? Because I think it's important to know when this Shedeur Sanders one was scheduled, because the buzz lately is that the Browns at 2, the Giants at 3 aren't going to be taking a quarterback. And if they scheduled it recently, maybe that's why. I'm just wondering.
Now, when I was in, you tried to schedule those things as early as possible, meaning at the combine, because you want to get on their dance card. The longer you wait, especially for a quarterback, and especially for a quarterback like Shedeur Sanders, you may not be able to fit into it on his dance card. So you try to get in there as soon as possible to make sure that he isn't all booked. Every once in a while, you might have a guy that says, hey, I know you wanted me and we couldn't schedule, but somebody canceled. Then you try to sneak them in, but you're trying to be that first and get the prime position where you know you're definitely getting that guy coming in.
One more segment with Doug Whaley on the way. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. One more segment with our guy, our NFL executive insider, Doug Whaley. And we got some breaking news, folks. Albert Breer writes, in addition to the group there now, the Raiders also have a 30-visit slated for Monday with Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders. And as we all know, the Las Vegas Raiders are picking in the top 10. They have the 6th overall pick. They also have Geno Smith, who they just paid a pretty penny. But we've talked about this, Storm. The reason why Pete Carroll's there, the reason why you get Geno Smith is because you want to elevate that floor again. You want to get some stability back in there. But I could see it making some sense for them to let a Shedeur Sanders sit behind Geno Smith. And I could also see them being a team that cares zero about the Deion stuff. They might actually look at it as a positive.
Well, didn't they want to hire Deion? I thought that they wanted Deion to be their head coach, and maybe they're planning for the future. All right, Pete Carroll, you have 3 years. Oh, you have Geno Smith under a 3-year deal. We'll draft Shedeur. He could sit 2 years, 3 years. Deion, then after 3 years, you could leave Colorado and come be the coach of your son.
Well, that's pretty damn good right there, Doug. Your thoughts on that?
I think next month you'll probably hear that Sanders was in Montana and accidentally bumped into Tom Brady. So, yes, you'll start hearing that. But I like that thought process, and I think we start putting odds on that right now of happening.
People are
you heard it first. Doran Dickerson.
Yep.
I mean, I love that. I didn't think about that for a second. So, that I mean,
Didn't get Deion this go-around. I know that they were in contact with Deion.
And you might just want to see what he does in college a little bit more. I mean, he turned that thing around in Colorado real quick.
Deion has a lot of pride, and I think that the situation, because he had the Cowboys reach out to him, he had the Raiders reach out to him. I think that maybe if this all, in my mind, is coming together, maybe Deion's like, I can't just abandon these kids right now. I can't abandon this program now that my kids are gone. That he's like, I have to at least stay a year or two after my kids are gone to show that I actually cared about the other kids.
That's well said, he did just get a sizable extension there in Colorado as well.
I agree with you, Doran. I think the way he has
recruited,
he said about what he wants to do, that he's going to see this through at Colorado for a little bit longer. But there is also that thing of being one step ahead of the posse. How long can he maintain it out at Colorado, especially with the new landscape coming through where SEC and Big Ten, they're looking at 14 to 15 million. Big 12 ACC, they're looking at maybe 10 to 12 million going to football. So that's a hard way to consistently make a living. You put on two, three more years at Colorado and you jump to the pros.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and you want to show maybe that you can do it, too, without one of the best quarterbacks in college and arguably the best player in college, the Heisman Trophy winner there. I think it makes a ton of sense for the Raiders, and people are going to kill me for this, so I don't even know if I want to say it, and it's not just my opinion, but one of the comps, not saying he's going to turn into this guy for Shedeur Sanders, has been Tom Brady because of some of his stoicism in the pocket. His lack of athleticism, his accuracy, the ball pat. I mean, this is a guy in Shedeur who has modeled his mechanics. I'll put it that way, his mechanics off of Tom Brady. So there you go. That kind of takes
some
wind out of my sails.
No, but another positive about this, and it's similar to what you're saying, is Shedeur wasn't highly recruited out of high school, went to Jackson State, performed well. Went from Jackson State to Colorado and put himself to be positioned to be a top 10 to 20 quarterback in the draft. So he's always been almost overlooked, and he's always risen to the occasion and proved himself, similar like Tom Brady. If you think about when he was in Michigan, they had Drew Henson come in and trying to take his job, but he always rose to the occasion. So I can see the parallels and how people are trying to connect the dots.
I say it takes the wind out of my sails. I mean, I don't want the Steelers to draft Shedeur Sanders, but I like all of this that comes with it. Mm. All right, big night at. You got Austin Bechtold tweeting out that, oh, he's going to see Aaron Rodgers tonight. All right, so people, I told you I would give you Austin Bechtold's personal phone number. And here it is. 412. I'm not going to do that to Austin. I just want him to sweat a little bit. Doug, this was fun, buddy.
It's been great. Do you guys think Aaron's going to announce tonight?
Nah.
No, but he's going to announce before. He'll announce today, not tonight.
He's going to parachute into the NFL draft in Green Bay. He's going to jump out of a plane with a parachute, and he's going to announce it right before the draft.
He's going to announce the Steelers' first-round
pick. And a terrible towel.
That's right. All right, Doug, we'll talk to you next week. Maybe the whole Rodgers thing will be figured out.